right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say it, everybody in the chat here. All right, first up, Peg McGroin is on. Castillo Dina is on. JGCK is on. Aggravain is on. ED209H is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. K4VMS is on. Itsua 99 is on. Bus Rider is on. Sunmu 45 is on. Let me see here. TJT1 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Sexy Pony is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Ever Eden is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Robin Aroni is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Alligator Alcatraz is on. Granite 2468 is on. Prayerworks 2 is on. C. Densmore 53 is on. Bus Rider is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down here. Chat is not working for me for some reason. There we go. Oh, there we go. Now we're working. It's not user error. It can't be. We all know that. It's a tech malfunction. Tech malfunction.
Of course.
Something's wrong. Something's wrong with Rumble.
It's the iPad.
It's Apple. It's not me.
Blame Tim.
That's right. Apple. I wouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. All right. Barn Evil is on. Big Jim. Go Blue is on. Let me see here. General Plowman is on. Motorcycles on. Those Jesus people is on. Genie Malfeasy is on. Gritterdun is on. Waterline 46 is on. LAG19 is on. Les Cruz Brown is on. LA106 Times is on. Volvo960 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Bud64327 is on. Buckeye1968 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Milwaukee James is on. Let me see here. Who else I got here? Jim Brody is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Charlie340 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Let me grab two or three more. Drummond for Jesus is on. B. Wethy is on. Let me grab one or two more. Dead Pal 50 is on. Arkawali is on. Let me see here. Let me grab one more. Producer Aaron is on. In County he's supposed to be on. Let me see here. One more. I haven't found yet. There we go. Paula America is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Well, sadly, it appears that the shutdown is over. I know that the conventional mentality is supposed to be that you shouldn't be rooting for government shutdowns. I was rooting for this one 100%. It appears it's going to go a total of 40 to 41 days, depending on when you actually consider it to be shut down. Really was kind of shut down yesterday as the filibuster was defeated. And just so everybody knows how the filibuster works, is it has nothing to do with the actual vote on any appropriations bill or any bill whatsoever. It has to do with voting to vote for the bill. Tom, what kind of government do we have? Absolute crap. It was great. There's a dream that was Rome. There was a dream that was this Federalist Republic, Constitutional Republic. But then we have the crap heap that we have now, brought to you by mainly the Democrats and capitulating Republicans. But anyway, so how the filibuster works is whenever a bill is presented, it is written into extra constitutional law by Aaron Burr, actually. How it worked was is that you're allowed to have endless debate. Well, if you're going to have endless debate, that's where filibustering comes in, where people uselessly talk for a long period of time so you can't get the actual point made. So that's where filibustering comes in. So for an order for a bill to come to the floor for a vote, there has to be the allotment of endless debate written into the rules of the Senate by Aaron Burr. So now what has to happen is you actually have to have enough votes to end the filibuster. In order to end the filibuster, you have to have a 60-vote majority. Not for the bill, but to end the filibuster. So in order, because you have to overcome the quote-unquote Senate rules. To set a new Senate rule or to overcome the filibuster Senate rule, you have to have a 60-vote majority. Not for the bill, but to overcome the filibuster. To overcome the vote to vote for the vote. That one, to vote for the bill. That's how it works. So that's what now you had eight Democrats. And here's how it works. Most of these people, you and I know probably more than most because I don't have a life and I look at these things. But you probably have never heard of a lot of these senators. I'd say at least five out of the eight that crossed, you've never heard of. Maybe you have, depending on what kind of how wonky you are, how much politics you pay attention to. You watch this podcast, probably a lot. But anyway, eight Democrats crossed over. Now, what has happened here is that Chuck Schumer has told them, you know what, you go and you fall on your sword now, and I'll put you on a committee. You'll get this much money when you run for re-election. Senators, it's very easy to recover from a singular vote because you only run once every 6 years. You have like various members of the Senate, like Tim Kaine's been in office for 29 years. 29 years, Senator. So, I mean, really, it doesn't matter. You vote for one stupid bill as a what you consider to be stupid, which means it's smart. As a Democrat, anything they say is stupid is actually smart. That's how you always just you always go with the inversion with Democrats. But anyway, so Chuck Schumer said, you ain't go throw yourselves on your sword because we can't get any more leverage out of it. Now, the Democrats believe that they won this stunning victory on election night last Tuesday, where they won the gubernatorial race, let's see, in Virginia, in Jersey. What they won a couple seats or they won something. I can't remember what all of what it was in Pennsylvania. And they believe that they won. They'll have this mandate that they won all the seats that they're supposed to win. I mean, again, we had one little respite of time where we had Glenn Youngkin as the governor. He's worthless. But as the governor of Virginia, he is worthless. Whenever really push came to shove, Glenn Youngkin could not have grabbed his ankles any faster than he did. And every single time it happened, tried to back the guy up, tried to say when he did good things. But he and Winsome Sears both ran from the Trump endorsement. So it worked for Youngkin. Certainly did not work for Winsome Sears. She's much lesser of a candidate. And so she got drubbed. And the Trump, so she lost by 11 points. And the Trump endorsed candidate for AG lost by 1.5 votes, 1.5%. So, I mean, that's, you could see she would have gained 10 percentage points if she allowed Trump to endorse her, but she didn't want. So she lost by 11 to 12 points, like all the idiots do. And now Glenn Youngkin is in Iowa now orchestrating a run for president, which will never happen because he's a weak-kneed, spineless worm. And everybody knows that he is. And when you need him the most, he's like most Republicans. When you need him the most, he bails on you. He runs for the hills whenever you need him the most. But anyway, back to the shutdown. So they overcame the filibuster by having eight Democrats cross over and vote with Republicans. They were assigned to do that by Schumer. Schumer can't do it because he's going to be running against AOC, and he has to appear to be a hyper leftist. And it's funny, appear to be a hyper leftist. It's a weird little game. But like AOC for now can be this pseudo hyper leftist because of her constituency, where Schumer can't be quite as hyper leftist as she is outwardly, even though he's just as leftist as she is ideologically. And I know that all seems sort of convoluted and intertwined, but it just is the way that it is. So she can appear to be a hyper-leftist outwardly. He has to pretend to be a pseudo-moderate outwardly, although both of them are hyper-leftist, left-of-Stalin wackos ideologically. So these eight Democrats were assigned to cross the aisle. They were assigned, with the exception of Fetterman. Fetterman's been publicly saying it for the last 40 days, the 40-day shutdown. He's been saying it to his credit because he's going to run as a Republican next time. I can guarantee he'll be a pro-choice Republican next time he runs. But anyway, in Pennsylvania. So here the eight senators are crossed. I told you, you're not going to hear most of these people. Jackie Rosen, Maggie Hassan, Angus King, Cortez Masto. Here's the ones you'll heard of. Gene Shaheen, John Fetterman, Tim Kaine, and Tricky Dickie Little Durbin, the man who still, to this day, is after all of his years as the Senate Majority Leader, still hasn't released the Epstein flight log, although now it's gone to John Thune. And Aaron, how's that release gone?
Still not.
John Thune hasn't released it either.
Weird.
That's weird. I mean, it's almost like they're covering up for a vassal state. Oh, I'll leave it at that for now. But anyway, so on November, here's off of Grok. On November 9th, the Senate advanced a CR on a 60-40 vote. We got the eight Democrats, no? Funding and Rand Paul voted no show. I don't know what's going on with Rand Paul right now. But anyway, funding most, just vote against it. I mean, vote your conscience. I just can't stand the game. I am never a nonpartisan, ever. Because you know what? Nobody's ever nonpartisan. You really do feel one way or the other. And you're either hiding how you feel or you are saying what you feel or acting out what you feel. You're never just a no vote like Rand Paul was. I hate that. Voting most agencies through January, this is the agreement that they had to come to have the Democrats come across the aisle. The Senate advanced the CR on a 60-40 vote, the continuing resolution, spending us to $2 to $2.3 trillion into more debt than we're already in right now. We're already $38 trillion worth of debt. This CR, this wonderful CR, is still spending at Biden post-COVID levels, where we are spending $2 to $2.3 trillion over our tax revenue, what we bring in tax revenue. So when by the time the CR is done, it's just been voted in by Republicans. And everybody's talking about, leave this up for me, Aaron. Everybody's talking about spending. We need to appropriate spending for this. How blind and convoluted can you be when your concern is about spending when you have this going on? What should your concern be? I'm just curious. I mean, what should your concern be? Your concern should not be passing spending bills. It should be passing cutting of spending bills. Look at this. Look at this. We are less than $1 trillion in debt 25 years ago. We're $38 trillion in debt now. $38 trillion, year 2000, before George W. Bush took office. We were less than $1 trillion in debt. We are now $38 trillion in debt. And the talk is about spending bills, not reduction of spending. But anyway, so now when this CR comes to fruition, it will run from this October to the next. That's the fiscal year. We will be just under 41 trillion dollars in debt ish, somewhere in there. That's where we'll be.
Lovely.
Yeah. And according to 2050, at 2054, we'll be $140 trillion in debt. That's fact, by the way. That's put out by the CBO. It's not put out by me or anybody else. $140 trillion in debt by 2054. Okay. Imagine, it's, you always use like the Titanic as an example. A house burning down, a building burning down, and you have to leave now. But you're on and about gathering up trinkets. I mean, what in the world is going on here? It's burning to the ground. And we have Republicans and Democrats gathering trinkets on the deck of the Titanic. That'd be like going up while everybody's getting on lifeboats of the Titanic and asking, what's on the menu this evening? That's what's happening right now. You have like Jasmine Crockett smiling and grinning with her fake anaconda hair and talking about, I'm running for Senate. What about this? I mean, you ever thought about this? Because if this isn't taken care of, it's over. It's over. Country's over. Right here. And they're like, the solution is to pass the CR. No, the solution is to not have a CR, cut government spending in half, and just make everybody suffer the consequences for it. What are the consequences? People will lose their jobs in the government sector and then have to move to the private sector. That's it. Everybody who legitimately needs medical care, which is about 1% of the people that are on it. 42 million Americans are on SNAP, EBT. 42 million. Of the 42 million, maybe 500,000 need it. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. By needing it, I mean, you know what? They're physically incapable of working a job where they can pay for themselves. That's about 500,000 people. That's it. If that, it may be less than that, but we're funding 42 million people on SNAP. Wait till we get to the SNAP videos tonight. Wait till we get to those. Okay. Especially stick around for the post game. Wait till you see them. Giant, massive fat women buying Kool-Aid and the latest iteration of holiday vanilla soda. And they can barely fit down the aisle at the grocery store, waddling around, and they got themselves a train of carts because they haven't got their EBT for a couple weeks now. So now they're loading up. They got $2,000 of Aaron's money to spend, and they are loading up on toaster strudels with extra cinnamon sauce.
Great.
It's true. I'm telling you, and that's exactly what's happening. And when you and I, there it is. You think any of them are wondering? Do they not realize that if you continue to do this, your Fruit Loops, your Cinnamon Toast Crunch, gone forever, because General Mills won't even exist anymore because of this.
Yeah,
just keep spending and spending and spending and spending. If you devalue the dollar, nobody's going to work because it's not worth working when the dollar's not worth anything.
Yep,
it's really not hard to explain, is it? So here's the guarantees. With guarantees for retroactive pay and hiring of fired workers. So Trump agreed to rehire government workers that he's fired. Democrats secured a December Senate vote on extending Obamacare. So they're going to put it up for a vote, which they'll lose in December. So, I mean, it was, I don't like the rehiring. I think that was a compromise. And then, by the way, what should Trump have done? Honestly, what should he have done? Well, all honesty, if they were true conservatives, I mean, think about it. If it was you, if it was me, if it was Brent, if it was Aaron, what would we have done?
No.
Screw them.
Yeah.
Keep it. You're all fired. And nobody's getting paid in the House and Senate either. Screw you. That's what we would do. I mean, Tom, what if you were a senator and you were dependent on that paycheck? I'd go without and go get another job. Just like I always have.
Yep.
Well, you know, when we were short of money in Lipley House, you know what I did? Got another job. I just signed up for more work, more details at the sheriff's office. That's what I did. That's what you do. That's real life. Again, there's a very small percentage of people who cannot do that because they're physically unable to do that. There always should be a safety net out of benevolence for people like that, but that's very few. And the fat, giant, 250-plus-pound women walking down the aisles with their train of carts, choo-choo, going down the grocery. They're capable of stringing together four grocery carts hung together by their kids. Their kids are like the hitches. Point out what they want. I mean, they're capable of working, but they're not. No, and by the way, they're not even like working a part-time job. Why would they? Aaron's paying for everything.
Yeah.
Why would you? Why would you bother? And I'm going to show you this now. Of course, this is a Dr. Roger Marshall video. Up to 40%, because a lot of this was allegedly about the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, what's called Obamacare. So this was about Obamacare, allegedly. That's what they do. And one, I can't remember what pundit put this out or what senator or congressman or woman put this out. But what they did was they deflected all of their lawlessness of the Democratic Party, their attacks on ICE, the lawlessness in all the cities. They deflected now from that, and then they made all the discussions about healthcare. Healthcare, they don't give a crap about. Remember, the senators and congressmen and women exempted themselves from the ACA and gave themselves gold-plated insurance. That includes the socialists like Bernie Sanders. But anyway, so here's the deal with it. So allegedly this was all about, remember, that's one of the deals is Democrats secured a December vote on extending the Obamacare tax credits. Let me make sure everybody understands what the Obamacare tax credits are. They are hundreds of billions of dollars, yes, that, to insurance companies. That's where they go to, insurance companies. Now, where the money goes after that is rationed by the insurance companies. So that's why people's medical treatments get turned down. That's why certain hospitals don't provide this service or that, because they're linked to this particular insurance company. But here's the video. Up to 40% of Obamacare enrollees never file a claim. Play for me.
I want to turn to talk about fraud just a little bit more. Get this. 35 to 40% of Obamacare recipients that are enrolled in Obamacare never file a claim. Let me say that again. There's 24 million people on Obamacare. 35, 40% of those people never file a claim. These are ghost people. They don't even know they're on Obamacare. They've been falsely enrolled in Obamacare. Now, some people would say, "Oh, but there's always some people that don't file a claim." It's usually more like 10%. More like 10% of people in a pool of insurance products are not filing the claim. In this case, it's 35 to 40%. And overall, I think we could say that this group of people in Obamacare is a high-risk group. Big cities like Chicago have pushed people that took early retirement, have pushed them onto Obamacare. These are typically sick people that have been pushed off other plans, and they went towards Obamacare. And trust me, I want to address that. That's why we need a high-risk pool that would address those types of folks as well. But the point here is that 10 million people on Obamacare are not using it, but the federal government is getting the entire premium paid. The insurance companies are getting the entire premium paid by the federal government. So 10 million people, a premium every month. It's like a slot machine going to big insurance companies.
So you have 24 million people on ACA, Affordable Care Act. 24 million people. Now, many or most of them don't know they're on it. Did you know? You might be receiving. This is just like all the people who voted in numerous states. That they're like, "I didn't vote in numerous states." No, you're registered to vote in numerous states. Many people voted in many different states, didn't even know they voted. Many people were informed that they voted. This is the Democratic Party machine. Where does this money go? Nobody knows. I have some guesses. it goes into bonus structures. We know that for insurance companies. Now, how would this work? Let's run it down from start to finish. So you have 24 million people on ACA. 30 to 40% of the 35, most of them. I can't remember the numbers, but most of them never actually file a claim ever. But yet they are paying for Obamacare every month. But they're not paying for Obamacare every month. You are. You're paying the premiums running to insurance company X or Y. Get this now. What the ACA is this giant lump of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in cash that are given to as insurance subsidies to insurance companies for ghost people. Now, yes, there are legitimate people on Obamacare. They say 24 million, but most of the people aren't on it. About 10 million use it. But where's the rest of the billions go? Now, if you were insurance, if you deal with insurance hucksters, which I have sadly a lot in the last 3 years, what is their goal? To not pay, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, if you are insurance company XYZ, and you are given $47 billion by Brent, by Aaron, by me, by you, by the taxpayers, you get $47 billion. Would your goal be to disseminate? To disperse all $47 billion? No, your bonus structure would be based on how much of that $47 billion you got to keep. Mm-hmm. So they don't give it to people. And what they simply do is make up people. Who makes them up? Don't know. I don't know whether it's the federal government. I don't know if it's NGOs. I don't know if it's the insurance companies who have bought off the politicians. I don't know who's doing it, but they're making up people. So all you see in Social Security. I mean, well, that's the ultimate example. There's people on Social Security who have a Social Security number who are 274 years old. Now they don't get a lot of them don't get a Social Security payment, but that actually say they have John L. Smith, 274 years old, on Social Security. Now you're like, well, yeah, but we've proven he didn't get any checks, but he's actually registered with all other federal agencies also, because really what Social Security number is now is an ID. Mm-hmm. So somebody gets his money from some other organization then or another NGO. So that's how it all works. Just want you to know, it's actually single payer. It's a single payer system for a certain part of the population that they want to inflict upon the rest of us as the senators and the congressmen and women exempt themselves with gold-plated insurance. That's what they want. It's actually a single-payer system like Canada, but only for 24 million Americans. You know, I'm sure, and a lot of that, I'm sure, is also shared with the 42 million Americans who are on SNAP. And a lot of them aren't even on the ACA. But you can use what? Now, here's the interesting thing. If you're registered for SNAP, I wonder if they just automatically register you for the ACA. Right, because you got your Social Security number. See, and they just say that you know, LaQuisha is on it. She's on, and we've got her insured. So she pays her premium, though she doesn't pay it. Like she pays, like here's how it works. She goes up to the register. LaQuisha goes up to the register and pays for her food with her EBT card. Aaron? She paid for it with her EBT card.
Yeah.
But who actually paid for it? Aaron did.
Yep.
It's the same thing with the insurance. LaQuisha goes and pays for her whatever, trans surgery, and she gives her ACA card. That's how it works. And that's all paid for by tax revenue. That's it. Now, most people who are registered under the ACA, or a large portion of them, never actually make a claim because they don't even know they're on it. This is our federal government. Do you think the shutdown should have ever been ended? No, they should have canceled the ACA. You got to have right now, you have got to have colossal balls right now. If we're going to really turn this country around and you don't want to be blackpilled, you're going to have giant balls and be willing to be lambasted in the public square. Listen, I preach basically every single Sunday that most people are going to hell. Look, you got to have guts to do that. I have people get up and leave all the time in the middle of my messages. you got to have guts to do that. I'm not trying to put myself out as an example, but I know me the best. What I preach costs me thousands of people. If I dumbed it down just a little bit, and let the worship team take over. You know, not ruin what they do. The worship team comes out and they light up the crowd and everybody's in a great mood till I get up there. You know, because they think God is somebody that he's not. And then I come up and start talking about how God opens up the earth and swallows a bunch of Hebrews. And they don't like it.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, that's the way it is. Or when God commands the angel to spill blood to the bridle of a horse. That's God doing that. I explained that to people on Sunday. If you don't think, you know, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. So, I mean, that he doesn't change. So I had to explain to people. I'm reading them verses right out of Revelation, chapter 2, about I indeed will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. I will kill her children with death. That's God.
Yep.
That's God. And that's written to the church at Thyatira who allowed sexual immorality into their church. You have to have giant nuts in this time. You have to say, you know what? All you people on Snap, get to work. Or here's your exemption. You go to a Trump administration approved doctor and you present your case how you are physically, not mentally, not emotionally, not because you got a boo-boo on your feelings that your mama gave you when you were 13 and now 48. You're physically incapable of working. There's your exemption. Okay, what do you need for healthcare? Or what do you need for SNAP? That's it. Otherwise, you pay for your own freaking healthcare. You pay for your own freaking food, just like everybody in this room has to do.
Yep.
That's what you do. I'm perfectly fine with people who are paralyzed, not receiving benefits. Absolutely. And who have cancer, receive, absolutely. That's the benevolence of Christianity. And by the way, the people that give to all those causes are not leftists. They're always right-wingers. We out-give leftists 3-1, if not 10-1. Because they always are perfectly willing to spend everybody else's money but their own. You look at the giving statements of like the Obamas. They give nothing. Schumer, nothing. Biden's were so embarrassing that he basically had to hide from them. He gives nothing. He's worth $14 million when he ran for president. Gave nothing. That's who these people are. They'll give a lot of other people's money away because then they get the free virtue of it. It reminds me of this dingback chick who used to attend this church and her dingback cuck husband. And we bought them a washer and dryer. And then they got mad and left the church because I said that God wants to make you well.
Oh.
That was why.
How horrible.
So, yeah, no, that's how horrible. I mean, terrible. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases, but he doesn't want to make you well.
Don't Matthew 8:17.
Sorry, that's right.
Bible.
Sorry.
Don't preach the Bible.
I got to go
just
with
give
her.
Them money.
Got to go with cuck boys, you know, cuck boy Christians theology. But anyway, CBC. But anyway, so they decide they're going to move. So they're moving. We owned the washing machine. It was church property still. We didn't give it to them. We bought them for it to be in their house so they have a washing machine for them and their kids. So they say, do you mind if we give it to some people we know? That, of course, now you're charitable. Mm. You're never charitable before, but now you're charitable because it's not your stuff. And I said, no, we'll come get it. And we did. That's it. My son went and picked it up. Screw you people. Nice. No, that's exactly how the government works. And deranged, mentally insane Christians. Well, there's plenty of those too. But anyway, so that's how I want you to see the Ponzi scheme that is Obamacare. Basically, a lot of the people that are claimed to be on it aren't, they're ghost people. It's like ghost voters. That's how Democrats win elections. It's not real people voting. It's just people who are registered by Democrats to vote. That's why they want, in California, it's all mail-in balloting. That's how they win. Just made up votes. And all you have to do is have a Democratic Party hub somewhere. You honestly believe that Pennsylvania's blue? You ever been to Pennsylvania? It ain't blue. It's all red. Everywhere's red. With the exception of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. That's it. The rest of it is absolutely red. And even Pittsburgh is purple.
Yeah.
Because you get outside of Pittsburgh proper, you get in like Moon Township and places like that, where Jonathan Shuttlesworth Church is, Revival Today, it's red. I mean, Trump everywhere. It's red. It acts red. It is. So they just have fraudulent elections where they just manufacture ballots and the like. That's what they're doing here. Manufacturing, welfare or ACA recipients. That's what they are. That's exactly what's going on. And so all these insurance companies, then what do? They're donating to Democrats to be elected so they continue to get their subsidies. All right, let's go to this one. Wall Street Apes video. This man delivers groceries from Walmart. He says EBT, SNAP, was just turned back on, and within one day, He's now delivering, get this, you'll love this, guys, more soda and chips than he delivers food. Play it for me.
So, once again, everybody, I deliver groceries for Walmart. I work for Spark. EBT hit in Michigan yesterday. Before EBT hit, I think I moved one Home Depot order and groceries. I was moving a lot of groceries yesterday before EBT hit. And all of these people were paying with cash, not EBT. EBT hit. The number one item I was moving was Pop. Like, I'd be going to orders of people who had EBT, and I know they had EBT. I know for a fact it was EBT, because as soon as you make the delivery, within 5 minutes, the tip gets erased. People who pay with cash, they don't erase the tip. Everyone who pays with EBT erases the tip. And yesterday, after EBT hit, I moved more Pop than I moved food. Yeah. And outside of Pop, the number one thing I was moving was chips. Chips. You know, like Doritos and stuff. Thanksgiving's coming up. Y'all didn't stop to think, hey, maybe I should buy some stuff for Thanksgiving. Y'all spent the last fucking few weeks complaining about, we don't have any EBT, we can't feed our children. And then you get EBT, and the very first thing you buy is soda and chips.
I mean, it's totally true, by the way. And the videos all back it up that are being posted on TikTok by the people who are proud that their EBT card's back on.
Yeah.
I mean, EBT, he says, just got turned back on, and within one day, he's now delivering more soda and chips than actual food. But people are just ordering soda and chips. I just want to congratulate all of us that pay for it. And our kids are paying for it because they're $38 trillion in debt. And it just gets worse and worse and worse because nobody has the guts to say to giant, fat, white, and black women, you know what? You're not getting any more money from us. And keep your legs closed.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. Is that you don't need to keep popping out puppies so you qualify for more EBT money. They just get cut off. Cut them off. And we need to start rewarding people who are married and working.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's go to the next one. All right, hopping off of this stuff for now. All right, Tony video. Oh, this is my Democratic Party section of the show. I got a lot of slides on Democrats. Now, I love this rip the crap out. I want to show you who these people really are. Here's a Democrat right here, Tony video. The same person who now insists on entering women's locker rooms, claiming they have every right to be there. You saw this video. It was very viral. Is the same person once convicted of serious domestic violence. So this guy beat the living crap out of a woman and now wants to go dress and see women naked in their own bathrooms. Play for me.
Stay out of the women's locker room.
The Gold's Gym locker room scandal just took a shocking new turn. The person at the center of it all has been revealed to have a serious criminal past. According to media reports, before transitioning, this individual was known as Grant Freeman. In 2022, he pleaded guilty in Ohio to domestic assault that caused serious injury to a partner. After serving his sentence, he transitioned and took his ex-partner's name, Alexis. Yes, the same person who now insists on entering women's locker rooms, claiming they have every right to be there, is the same person once convicted of serious domestic violence. Yet when women speak up and say they feel unsafe, they're the ones silenced, banned, and labeled as intolerant. Remember the woman who lost her Gold's Gym membership? She simply voiced her concern and got removed for it. Now this story has gone viral. One side supports the gym's inclusivity policy, while the other, mostly women, just want to feel safe. If even people with serious criminal backgrounds can freely enter women's spaces, then maybe something in the system is broken.
So let me start again with this rudimentary argument that I've made from day one, and Brent can attest to this, and I shouldn't put him on the spot because it could bite me in the rear end, but you ask him, he was a cop for many years. I was a cop for many years. He's a cop up in Cincinnati area dealing with lots and lots of crime. I was down here basically in Mayberry. But anyway, both of us have been on thousands of police calls, all right? Mm-hmm. How many female pervs did you ever deal with? Female females trying to get into men's rooms, female peeping toms, females trying to see men naked in your whole law enforcement career.
Zero.
Me too. So in a combined about 35 years worth of law enforcement between two of us, zero. I had none. I never, ever found a woman trying to leer her way in to a men's urinal.
No.
And never had a woman go into a men's room trying to get a glimpse of some penises. That never happened ever, ever in life. So let me just throw this out here. It'd be one thing. It's still all bad, all illegal, all immoral, all unethical, everything. But if there was, like, if it was, like, kind of multi-dimensional here or bi-dimensional where, you know what, all of the women pretending to be men are trying to get in the men's room so they can leer at penises. Is this what, I mean, let's just be honest with all this stuff, okay? That's what's going on here. That's this guy right here. No matter how he strudes about with his bra on, that's a dude who loves women. He beat the living crap out of his girlfriend or wife or whatever it was. That's a man. Simply, look at him try to walk like a girl here. Oh, yes. Hello. Yes. I go, my name is really Sam, but I go by Samantha. No, he is a man trying to see women naked. That's all he cares. Look at this guy. I mean, you're going to put some lipstick. Look at him. Really, that's a trans guy. That's a trans guy that's going to put some lipstick on.
Grant.
Yeah, Grant. Look at this guy. So, again, if there was like, you know, a whole bunch of women dressed up as men were trying to sneak into men's spaces, it still would be totally, you know, wrong and immoral and illegal and everything else. But the only people trying to leer at the opposite sex are men dressed up as women, not the other way around. I know there's some, what you would call a trans man, a woman pretending to be a man, and they want to go into the men's room. That is so rare.
Yeah.
It's real. I mean, they still are going to the women's room because women's rooms are a lot nicer anyway most of the time. There's not urine all over the place because our aim was bad. But whatever. So here it is. I mean, this I wanted to just show you. This is the Democrats. And now this person, the woman who exposed him, gets kicked out of the gym as he's in there leering at naked women. And he's still a gym member. And just so you know, that where did the Democrats stand? Get rid of the woman. Get rid of the alleged advocates for women are in favor of the woman being kicked out of the gym. So this guy can continue to leer at naked women in the shower. That's Democratic Party. Let's go to the next one. Dapper detective video. New Hampshire state rep Stacey Marie Lawton. Now, who's Stacey Marie? Stacey Marie's a guy. The first openly trans lawmaker admits, and now, Aaron, stop thinking this. Brent, stop thinking this. That this is all just a pseudo-pedophilic ring, which it all is. It's just a way to normalize sex with kids. Because Stacey Marie, who's a man, fully penis guy still, fully penis. I mean, it's one thing if you get it lopped off and you try to get an inverted vagina. That's one thing. I still call you a man because you're still a man. But anyway, that's him.
Oh, my word.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's a woman, by the way. In order for you to be a Democrat, in order for you to qualify to be Chuck Schumer-style Democrat, Obama-style Democrat, you got to call that thing a man, a woman, right there, that thing. Democrats hail Lawton as historic. See? I mean, if you're a liberal and you're watching this, I mean, you have to have some functioning synapses in your brain. You're breathing. I mean, how can you be okay with, first of all, the asinine absurdity of it all, not to mention just the bold-faced lying, where you know that is a fully penis man attracted to women who uses this as an excuse, though, here's the problem, has pled guilty to sickening child sex charges involving kids as young as three.
Ah.
But, I mean, if you're a Democrat and you pay for trans drag shows on military bases, so that 47-year-old men with taped-up penises can twerk those said taped-up penises in the faces of 4- and 5-year-old girls. I mean, that's who you are as a Democrat. You are in favor of that. That's who you are. And I get sick and tired of the Bill Maher's of the world saying, we need Democrats to not be so pro-trans. That's what it means to be a Democrat, is to be pro-trans. There is no delineation between what was a Democrat and what is a Democrat. You are what you are. This is you, Bill Maher. This is what you voted for. You still voted for Kamala. You still voted for her. She's in favor of looking at this creature in the eye and saying you're a female. So anyway, New Hampshire State Rep Stacy, that's what you have to say if you're a Democrat. You have to just live an absolute abject delusion, participating in Stacy's delusions here. Stacey Marie Lawton, the first openly trans lawmaker, admits and pleads guilty to 6 and 8 sickening child sex charges involving kids as young as 3. Play for me.
Former state representative will be sentenced in February after pleading guilty to charges that include sexual exploitation of children. Stacey Lawton requested explicit photos of children from Lindsay Groves, who worked at a daycare in Tingsboro, Massachusetts. Groves pleaded guilty last month. Prosecutors say the two were dating at the time and exchanged thousands of text messages about those pictures. Lawton was elected to the New Hampshire House 3 times, but resigned twice because of separate legal problems.
Aaron, you as a Democrat, you have to say that's a woman. I mean, come on. How can you live with yourself? I mean, think about this. You have to go in front of your kids and say, call that man Stacy. I'm thinking of Brent because he's got kids that you can talk to. Aaron's son's still too young. But I mean, like, his two girls, like, if this guy was around, he would have to tell them how to deal with him. And you're going to lie to your own kids and say, call that fully penis man. He wouldn't say that, but fully penis man a woman. You're going to lie to your kids? That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. All right, Dapper Detective video. Let's look at one of the accomplishments of Joe Biden. New charges. Felon whose prison sentence was commuted by Joe Biden, by the Biden auto pen, hours before leaving the White House, I wonder who financially profited off of this, is under arrest for shooting a man at point-blank range in Omaha. Play for me.
Details into the case of a man charged in a shooting in Omaha. This happened months after former President Joe Biden gave the man clemency. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Omaha says they are now charging 31-year-old Kyrie Holbert for being a felon in possession of a gun. Officers booked Holbert after police allege he shot a man near 13th and Howard this month.
Now, an unsealed complaint alleges the same gun used in that shooting is a match for the gun used in multiple other violent gun offenses. The complaint goes on to allege Holbert tried to dispose of that gun, only to have law enforcement recover it. Holbert was previously sentenced to 20 years in federal prison. He only served 7 of those years after getting out this past January when President Biden commuted his sentence. In a statement, U.S. Attorney Leslie Wood says, in part, that Holbert should never have been prematurely released from federal prison, and Omaha is safer with him back in custody.
Hey, Aaron, can you give me that screen right there so I can read that? That'd be great. So great job. I just want to congratulate Democrats once again. Great job, Democrats. Kyrie Holbert, felony gun possession. Yeah, his sentence was commuted by the Biden auto pen days before Biden left office. Now you're like, who got paid? Now, how would you get paid for this? Well, what happens is you commute these sentences for these people, and then they need aftercare, right, for some NGO. That's fully staffed by Democrats paying themselves $500,000 a year to care for Kyrie Holbert. That's how it all works, and then they donate to various campaigns and people's wives' charities and whatever else. And their wife, the Democrat's wife who's running a charity, also makes $500,000 a year. But that's how it all works, and that's why we're $38 trillion in debt. And you don't see any reason. We're $38 trillion in debt with potholes all over the highways. But anyway, Kyrie Holbert, felony gun possession. Let's let that guy loose, shall we? Used in other gun offenses, accused of trying to dispose of gun, previously sentenced to 20 years, granted clemency by Joe Biden. Just, I mean, what a great decision that was. Another Democratic Party accomplishment. Let's go to the next one. MAGAX Times Daily News video. Make no mistake about it. This is why they get up in the morning and the shutdown was them earning their keep. Here's what the Democrats actually make. Play for me.
Look at these numbers. I want you to look at these numbers. If you think that this government shutdown is about you and your Affordable Care Act, and they're helping to fight you to save your benefits, you're absolutely wrong. They are fighting to keep their numbers, and their numbers are very high. Everyday Americans will never see any of these numbers because they are meant to keep you poor. Every single one of these numbers represent how much these Democratic leaders are getting in kickbacks from lobbyists, from Big Pharma. We, everyday Americans, again, will never see this number in our lifetime. And they're getting paid this probably every year. Imagine. And you always wonder, how is it that these people are getting rich? That is how. Every single one of these lobbyists, every single one of these insurance companies are lining these Democratic leaders' pockets. Now, this doesn't only happen with the left. It does happen with the right too. Some less, some more. You gotta remember, this is never about you. It's always been about how much they get in their bottom dollar.
Of course, how does this work? Of course, they get this money kicked back to them. And so the funniest part of it all is top left-hand corner with Bernie Sanders, the Democratic socialist, gets the most at almost $2 million. It's either per year or regularly. From who? From the ACA. Isn't that great? From Obamacare. Big Pharma's under Obamacare. It's all one giant circle bleep symbiote. Big Pharma gets a lot of that subsidized money, hundreds of billions of dollars per year. They get it too. That's why it costs $500 for an aspirin in the hospital. That's how it works. And all what happens is this money gets kicked back to these Democrats to vote for we're going to vote for a shutdown until it's guaranteed that the insurance companies that give us the kickbacks get their hundreds of billions of dollars to give us our kickbacks. That's what it's all about. Now, how do they actually get this money? It goes into their campaign coffers, but that's not a problem. You just have a relative as an advisor, like Bernie Sanders, which I've told you a million times. Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar's last campaign paid her own husband $3 million out of the campaign. Campaign was 6 months long. He made $3 million, $3.1 actually. $3.1 million to be a consultant. Amazing, isn't it, how that all works? That's all. Then what Bernie Sanders does, he takes that money right there, puts it in the campaign. No problem, right? Puts in the campaign. He can't use it for himself. Well, no, they can, because anything you can even tacitly connect to a campaign. Like, I had to go get 5 massages a week because I was stressed out by the campaign.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's how it works. Anything and everything. I've got to go and do some research in the Bahamas.
Right.
With a private jet.
Climate change.
I got to go check out the climate change. Got to check out how the tropical fish have been affected. I need to go get the absolute gold level snorkeling or diving trip, stay at 5-star hotel, private jet, everything else, because I'm doing that for research for my candidacy. Or you just do what Bernie does, which is just put your wife in charge of campaign ad buying. Now, when you buy campaign ads, like Bernie Sanders, last time he ran, he raised like $100 million. You spend, let's just say, $40 million on campaign ads. Well, the person who buys campaign ads, according to campaign finance laws, gets to keep 10% of that. That's $4 million to his wife. He spent way more than $40 million. So what did she make? 10, $15 million in a year and a half. I could live on that. I could squeak by on $15 million every 18 months.
It's not bad.
I could make it. That's what Bernie does. And I thought he's a socialist. Look at Chucky Schumer, $1.5 million. Ron Wyden, $1.2 million. Raphael Warnock, $1.7 million. There's Pocahontas up there, $1.2 million. Isn't it amazing? And that's why they vote to have... The people that give them that money, they want the guarantees from the Republicans that the people who give them that money continue to receive that money, and that money is your money. That's how it works. Let me show you this. MJ Truth Ultra video. Tim Walz bombshell. This is from last year. But then some other revelations have come out about this. But let me lay the groundwork. Tim Walz bombshell. Every horrible thing happens in a Democrat state. I want you to think about it. This is the largest COVID scam I'll just read the headlines. Walz allowed a gang of politically connected Somalis, Aaron loved that.
Yeah, shocker.
Fraudsters, Ilhan Omar being one of them, to steal, literally, $250 million during COVID. Now, I want to congratulate everybody. We're still spending at those levels. So all this $250 million that got stolen, we're still spending at COVID levels. Remember, we were spending at about a little under $1 trillion a year in debt and deficits. During COVID, we raised that up to between $2 and $3 trillion per year in debts and deficits. And for some reason, we're still spending that even though the pandemic's gone. Weird, because once you license government to do anything, good luck clawing that back.
Yep.
And you never will, because they're making money off of it. What we just showed you with Bernie Sanders. Same thing here. This money, a lot of this goes to Big Pharma. It goes to the ACA, goes to the insurance companies, who then kick it back to the Democrats who continue to vote for the subsidies. It's so corrupt. You got to have AC/DC, big giant nuts, and go in there and be willing to take on the load of he's starving kids. Go ahead, let him say it. Let him say it. But anyway, Waltz allowed a gang of politically connected Somali fraudsters to steal $250 million of COVID money. Play for him.
We've known Tim Walz for less than a week, and we've already found out he let rioters burn down cities, lied about his military service, crushed small businesses, and turned Minnesota into a child sex change sanctuary. But that's not it. Tonight, we're dropping another Walz bombshell. As governor, Walz led a gang of politically connected Somali fraudsters steal $250 million of your money. It was the single biggest COVID scam in American history. During the pandemic, the government was giving out money left and right. A nonprofit in Minnesota, Feeding Our Future, got $250 million to send food to needy kids. Sounds good, right? Here's the problem. Almost none of it was used for food. The Somali scammers blew our cash on real estate, cars, extravagant get trips. We have wire transfers that show thousands going to car dealerships. $160,000 went to some company in China. And $500,000 was sent to Kenya to buy an apartment. A $500,000 apartment in Kenya is probably a palace. But our tax dollars weren't just used on goodies. The politicians got a taste, too. Ilhan Omar got thousands of dollars in donations from some of the scammers. These guys weren't criminal masterminds. It was sloppy. When they cooked the books, they made up names of their fake clients. They came up with these names. Are you ready? Unique Problem. Friday Donations. How'd nobody catch that? Well, early on, Walz administration thought it looked a little suspicious, so they froze the funds. Then the Somalis sued and called Walz racist, so he kept letting them steal. They didn't bother to crack into the bank accounts or issue subpoenas. Walz just put his hands in the air and said, I'm not racist. Take whatever you want. Minnesota has a huge Somali population. You can't get called racist and expect to win another election there. Walz even gave one of the fraudsters the Minnesota Outstanding Refugee Award. 3 years later, she was indicted. No thanks to Walz, the feds came in after he ignored the problem for years. During the trial, the Somalis tracked down a juror and dropped off a Hallmark bag on their doorstep, filled with 120 Gs, and a little note saying there's more to come if she acquits. This all happened under Walz's nose. He had every chance to stop it and failed. Just like he failed to protect his city during the riots, and just like he failed his unit when he retired before deployment. This is the guy Kamala Harris chose as her number two.
So I love the montage at the beginning of the video put out by Jesse Waters. So you're Tim, this is, of course, right when Tampon Tim got into the race with Kamala. Here's what we learned about Tim Walz. He oversaw the burning down in Minneapolis. His wife opened up the window, smelled the burning fire, and said, man, it smells like victory. Lied about his military service, turned Minnesota into a child sex change sanctuary, and oversaw the, I mean, again, this, we're, find this in a Republican state. I challenge you. Why is this always in a Democrat state? Can anybody explain it? I mean, you're a Democrat. If you're watching this and you've stumbled upon this podcast, just show it to me. I'll put it on the podcast. Show it to me. Show me anything like this under Republican. I'm not, listen, I know Republicans certainly are not perfect. I'm just saying, show it to me. Why is this always in a Democratic Party state? Why is it the Pacific Palisades burns to the freaking ground with 14,000 homes gone? And in Florida, we have just as many wildfires and nobody ever loses their house, statistically speaking. Why is that? I mean, why is it? I mean, I've seen huge forest fires in Florida, and they always get put out. They can't get put out in California because it's a Democrat state. Everywhere, every single time. And then you have the largest COVID finance fraud in the country overseen by Tim Walz. After he finds out about it, turns the money off. He's afraid of being called Islamophobic and turns the money back on after he knows it's fraud. And one of the recipients of those thousands upon millions upon almost billions of dollars was Ilhan Omar. Captive Dreamer video, the restaurant that Ilhan Omar filmed the video in, was a center of massive COVID aid fraud, of a massive COVID aid fraud scheme where hundreds of millions were siphoned, $250 million actually, were siphoned into shell companies ostensibly to feed children. Here's a little ad. This was shot at the restaurant that was the hub of this fraud. Play for me.
أدي هذا أفرح سنة هاي إن ما أنت سفاري أن سو جارني سفاري إن أي تحي مالها سيتي أو ديارين وعنتو مالن كستو مالن تي كليو سفاري وحي عنتو سيسا لبكم يصدح.
Just when you can. So I just want to, and side by side if you can. But anyway, I'm not going to make you sit there and listen to that Somali crap for that long. But anyway, it sounds like,
thank you.
I mean, it's literally like torture. I think I'd rather have you pull my arm hairs out one at a time. Then listen to that. But here she is. There now. This is the billion-dollar COVID scam to feed the children. So Omar is there. She herself received thousands upon thousands of dollars. So now she's pretending to feed these people. There's a little mask in their hands, all that stuff, right there. She's got her COVID mask on, pretending to feed people, and it turned out they fed basically no one. She's sitting there with her gloves on. These people, I mean, if you're a Democrat, how do you look at yourself in the mirror every day saying, I vote for these fraudsters and these hucksters and these repulsive, evil people? I don't get it. Find me a Republican who ran a Feed the Children food scam. Find it for me. I'll play it on the podcast. I will play it for you. And I mean, I could go off because this is during COVID times right here. I could go off on this right now. All the churches that did this crap. Hey, pull up in their church parking lot and name Jesus. And even though we're ignoring scripture totally, that's causing you to act like this. And we're the ones causing you to lose your job. So now you have to come to our food bank because we're all collaborators and cooperators with the bourgeois globalist leftist elitists, which are nothing more than really purveyors of the Antichrist spirit. But anyway, so we're going to cooperate with the Antichrist spirit. But anyway, now that we've caused you to lose your job via our cooperation and collaboration, now come to the church and pop your trunk and we'll put some Cheerios in the back for you. And while the pastor's still getting paid his full salary, though, doing his Zoom services and hoping that nobody realizes that their money's still being taken off of their credit card and donated to the church. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
He's good.
He's good.
All the time.
He's good to me and all the time. Good to me. Not you, but me. Like this stuff right here. Oh, my gosh. I mean, 30-minute montage. All right, let me go to the next one. Eric Doherty video. Justin, conservatives are demanding Ilhan Omar be deported. Here's her response to that. Play it for me.
I mean, I have no worry. I don't know how they take away my citizenship and like deport me, but I don't even know like why that's such a scary threat. Like, I'm not the 8-year-old who escaped war anymore. I'm grown. My kids are grown. Like, I can go live wherever.
Well, go live wherever then. Get out, you lying sack of crap who's married to your brother. Get out of here. I'm glad you're not worried. Self-deport like every other illegal. Let me show you this one. Still in my Democratic Party section of the show. I don't think I'm getting out of it tonight. No. But anyway, Michelle, hashtag America First. I can't believe it. How many videos did I send? How many slides did I send?
80 slides.
I sent in 80. Where am I at?
We're on 10.
10. I need to send in less slides.
70 more.
70 more and we're done. So we'll be done about 2:30 this morning. Yes. So anyway, Michelle, hashtag America First video. Sickening. Now here it is. Here's Ro Khanna. Eric, you side by side, just so everyone knows who Ro Khanna is. Just in case. Ro Khanna is supposed to be the big moderate. He's the one who, you know, it's all a fraud. The moderates are frauds. The people that they say, you know, sometimes they'll cross the aisle. No, they're never really moderates. They are all leftists, including the Republicans. And it's just so that they can put on this mirage, this portrait of palatability. So like, you know, sometimes the bills get voted down and sometimes they don't. And the moderates cross over and they vote for or against. But if you noticed, eventually, just like the government shutdown, just like the CR at Biden spending levels, it all ends up being passed and everybody on Capitol Hill gets richer. Have you noticed that? Including this moderate, this guy who's always like the reasonable one in the room.
Yeah.
That's, they always go, well, even Ro Khanna, who's a moderate liberal, a moderate leftist, you know, they always refer to him for, it's just like the lukewarm Christian. They're always the reasonable one. Now, don't listen to that Tom who just goes by the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Don't listen to that craziness.
No.
Listen to the person who discerns these things.
Yeah.
Listen. Listen, Aaron, if you can't hear Aaron, I can hear him. But anyway, listen to the person who's, you know, they believe the Bible, but you know, you got to use some wisdom. For since in the wisdom of the world, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom didn't know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So who do you believe? The radical who stands on the word, or the person who is the arbiter of allegedly the Spirit?
Yeah.
Now, you believe what the word of God says because the Spirit only speaks the word, John 16:13. Think about that. You're going to say that you're speaking for the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit only speaks the word.
Yeah.
So how can you be denying the word? Like putting Cheerios in the trunk of cars, in the cars of people you've caused to lose their jobs because you refuse to take a stand during COVID. Because what you're supposed to do is preach the word. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. And no sickness can draw near your dwelling. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yep.
Right? Oh, that's too radical. You got to use wisdom in these times of a 0.1% death rate. But here's Ro Khanna. Even, you know, Ro Khanna, the moderates even siding with the Democrats. He always does. He just grabs his ankles at the last possible second, so he appears to be a moderate. Now, if he appears to be a moderate, that opens up some moderate money for him. Sickening, Democrat Ro Khanna is averaging, get this, Aaron, how many, and Brent, get this, 17 trades a day in the stock market.
Wow.
17 trades a day. I thought he was busy being a moderate and understanding both sides and then being an arbiter of goodness and an arbiter of cooperation. No, he's making 17 stock trades a day at $16,500 per trade.
Wow.
With a trading volume of, are you ready? 562 million.
Wow.
But don't worry, he cares about you and me. Play for me.
This is worse than I thought. This guy, Ro Khanna from California, since he's been in office, he is averaging 17 trades every single trading day for an average of $16,500 per trade. 17 trades a day every single day for holy, how is that possible? I'm sorry, but even if you have somebody doing this for you, how can you 17 trades a day 2000 days since you've been in office, 17 trades a day for an average of $16,500 a day? And he is on the oversight committee. So a member of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability is doing 17 stock trades a day, every single day for 2,000 days while in office for an average of $16,500. And he's on the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. He is also he's a ranking member of the Armed Services Committee. He's also on the Committee for Strategic Competition. How does he, maybe, I get it. If you ask him, he'll be like, I don't remember. Because he's probably on the Alzheimer's Congressional Task Force. This is insane.
So he oversees one of the biggest expenditures of our budget that we don't have. Which is the military. He's on the Military Oversight Committee, whatever that's called, Armed Services Oversight Committee, whatever, Armed Services Committee. So that's where trillions of our military budget this year is over $1 trillion. And funny, he's making 17 trades a day, and he's overseeing a large portion of our economy. And he's in charge of overall congressional oversight and ethics. He's insider trading while he's in charge of ethical behavior. Aaron said it. Listen, symbolically, not literally, it all needs to be burned to the ground. Yeah. You got to have giant balls. I got to get that. We got to get that and have play it in the background from AC/DC. That's what it takes during this time. You've got to go in and say, no matter what they call you, if there's a bunch of 250-pound loquacious and white women, 250-pound white women too, whatever, walking down the aisles, and they hate you, and they say you're starving us, you know what? Go ahead. They can go to Jake Tapper. It doesn't matter. I mean, people could accuse me of, Tom, you don't feed the homeless. That's right. You know why? Because the homeless want to be homeless. I know the homeless in the state of Florida. This is not the homeless in Delhi, okay? This is not the homeless in India. This is the homeless in America. And I know their game because I was a cop for 25 years. I'm not feeding them. So I'm going to be accused of lacking compassion, just like I was accused of lacking compassion because I wouldn't close the church. You have to stand. And every other pastor in this area did close their church because they didn't want to be accused of lacking compassion. Now they're all claiming they didn't. They have all deleted their Facebook post that said that they did. We're together alone together, having a Zoom service. But anyway, it takes right now, you've got to go ahead and you need to stand up, and somebody needs to pass law. No more insider trading in Congress, especially from somebody on the Oversight and Ethics Committee. All right, that's it. 10:14. That's good. Just a couple Rumble rants tonight. Jules, 21 hours, $50. Thank you so much, Jules. Rich Perry, $49, $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Stick around for the post game back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.